The mission is simple: to help high achievers naturally eliminate emotional and physical obstacles so they can optimize their life for higher achievement. Welcome. You have just entered the Genesis Zone.
Hello, hello, and welcome. Good day. Welcome to the Genesis Zone Show. This is Dr. Brian Brown. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on this beautiful Friday. If you're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and you're ready to stop feeling like crap, join me on Monday, May the 17th for my free Gene Hack Bootcamp. Now, it's only going to be free this one time. This is my first time that I've been doing a boot camp. I've spoken internationally for years and to groups of 10, 14,000 people. I don't have any problem speaking or teaching. I actually love to do it. But because this is the first boot camp, I'm actually going to be doing this one for free this first time. So it's just a gift to you, my audience. Join me on the Gene Hack Bootcamp. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the show, so stay tuned. But you can go to www.drbriangbrown.com/genehack. All right. So the question today is, do you ever feel older than your actual age? Well, if so, you're not alone. And there are some good reasons that this is happening. In today's In the Zone segment, I'll be sharing my experience about this topic and what you can do to get off the hamster wheel once and for all. So let's recap yesterday's interview with Dr. Piper Gibson. She was one of our servant leaders that I interviewed, and she is a genetics expert. So she's a kindred spirit, since I'm also an expert in the area of genetics. We kind of nerded out for about 30 or 40 minutes on the topic of nutrigenomics. So if you missed that episode, I encourage you to go back and take a listen. So yesterday, Dr. Gibson reminded us that nutrigenomics is not scary at all. It's just like looking at a blueprint when you're building a house, except this is your blueprint, and we are looking for the things that we need to reinforce and the things that we need to remove. So she also shared with us that those who deal with psychiatric and neurological conditions commonly have markers on their genes that cause the body to create a lot of chronic aggressive inflammation. They simply have major breakages in the switches and on switches, and major breakages in the off switches when it comes to inflammation. And you've heard me speak about this over and over again. Genetics is really simple in that there are some genes that are just hardwired in, like the color of your eyes, you know, the shape of your face, how tall you're going to be. Those things are kind of hardwired into your body based on, you know, familial type things. But then there are some genes that are modifiable. They're coded to be modifiable. And that's where nutrigenomics comes in under the umbrella of epigenetics. But in a lot of cases, when we're talking about issues like neurological conditions and psychiatric conditions, as Dr. Gibson reminded us, it's not just one gene. Oftentimes, it's many genes involved in this particular condition or this particular cluster of symptoms. She also reminded us that with the standard American diet, many people need help with inflammation because their diet in the Western world is very pro-inflammatory. In other words, it simply makes their inflammation worse or causes them to be inflamed. And then lastly, she shared that the inflammation is not just limited to joints and muscles. And in fact, it occurs in neurological cells called microglial cells. Don't get caught up in that term. That's a technical term for medical people. The only thing you need to know is that those microglial cells are actually the brain's immune system. And what research is telling us that conditions like lupus and MS and Alzheimer's dementia just to name a few, as well as Parkinson's, have extremely high amounts of inflammation in these microglial cells. And Dr. Gibson and I spoke about that. We talked about that. So the review of the, from yesterday's show leads perfectly into today's discussion. As we age, our we are subject to a process called, and here's another technical term, so don't get caught up in it, epigenetic drift. And epigenetic drift, let me explain what I mean by this. In the simplest terms, it just means that as we age, our cells become less similar to each other, which makes communication between them more difficult. Now, I know there's some people out there laughing right now thinking as we age, there are a lot of things that drift. And you couldn't be further from the truth, Brian, And the answer is yes, there are a lot of things that drift, but our genes tend to drift as well, meaning they drift further apart. They don't communicate as well. And there are ways to reestablish that communication. But that's not the purpose of today's show. The purpose of today's show is to talk about some practical ways that we can get your body to start working in the right direction. So in other words, with epigenetic drift, it's kind of like, if you remember when we used to have landline phones, you know, pick up the phone and it'd be really staticky, you know, like during a storm or something like that, or there could be a storm somewhere else in the country and it was affecting, you know, the reception that you're getting. Now we just drop the signal, you know, we get poor cell tower signal and you just hear every other word. But some people remember the days that we used to have to talk through static, and some things just kind of got lost in translation. So this staticky communication leads to a mistranslation of information and causes genes to express themselves or function in the wrong way. In other words, because of this miscommunication, the good switches get turned off accidentally and the bad switches get turned on accidentally because they misheard what the communication was actually supposed to be. And the end result of that is, and a lot of people may not even know this, but the end result of this is that it can make our biological age older than our chronological age. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is your chronological age is set on your date of birth, but biologically your cells age at either a slower rate than your chronological age, your birth age, or they stay about the same as your birth age, or they're accelerated in their aging process. There are actually tests that we can do now to test and see how old your biological age is versus your chronological age. The last time I checked mine was about 2 years ago. I'm 51 years old, so I was 49 at the time. And my biological age, because of the things that I do nutrigenomically to support my genes, nutritionally support my genes, my biological age was actually 29. So I'm much, much younger on a cellular level than my chronological age is. And that's actually what we like to see. We like to see it be the same or actually younger. And you can actually see those changes over time and remeasure those over time. And it's really cool to see that process because we can affect the age of those cells and make them healthier, make them younger. So as we age, our risk for numerous health conditions increases. This includes things like, you know, cognitive decline, cardiovascular deterioration, and poor cellular regulation. But it doesn't just have to be related to chronic diseases. It can be things like fatigue, low energy, brain fog, depression, sadness, anxiety, muscle weakness, low stamina, low endurance. You get the idea. You don't have to have a chronic illness to feel like crap, you know, and I don't know any other way to put it, but you just don't. You can have a cluster of symptoms that traditional Western medicine can't identify what's going on. They check your lab work and they say, oh, all your lab work is perfectly fine. It must all be in your head. Here's a prescription for an antidepressant. And that makes you feel even more like crap because you're thinking, I don't need a pill to fix this. There's something out of balance and I need this to be rebalanced. So While part of our increased risk is due to poor lifestyle choices, another part of our increased risk for these symptoms or these diseases is due to declining metabolism as we age. So genetically, what's happening behind the scenes, with this thing that we call epigenetic drift? Well, what's happening is that we're the genes are becoming more unstable because they're not communicating correctly. We've already been over that. And then the mitochondria, which are the powerhouse for the cell, they start to malfunction and decline in their production. So energy level for the cell goes down, and therefore energy level for the brain and the body goes down. And then we get move into these metabolic imbalances where we become like pre-diabetic, insulin resistant, and over time we actually may convert into type 2 diabetes. Then we develop all this chronic inflammation, our immune system starts to malfunction and it starts to decline. And then stem cells become exhausted. Now, stem cells are responsible for repair and regeneration. And if we don't have these stem cells, our body just doesn't repair and regenerate like it should. And all of this is going on behind the scenes. So how do we fix it? Well, I want you to imagine, draw a square on a piece of paper. Now, in the middle of that square, I want you to write the word gene or genetics. And on each corner of the square, I want you to write the words mindset, lifestyle, cell biology, and external environment. These four corners represent the pieces that affect your genes. But here's a key, and this is a secret. They all have to do with environment. You see, cell biology, lifestyle, and mindset all have to do with the internal environment, whereas the environment that I mentioned on one of the four corners is actually the external environment. So you've got these two concepts, internal environment, external environment. And external environment is really complex. It's a complex system, things that are beyond our control. Like, we can't control air quality per se. We can do our little piece to help with air quality, but we can't change the overall quality of the air. And now, sure, we can put room purifiers, air purifiers in our house and things like that, but I don't want to get bogged down in that. You get the idea that there are chemicals that we're exposed to in our food supply, in our drinking water, that we can't control. I mean, it's very difficult to control. But with the internal environment, with mindset, lifestyle, and cellular biology, there are a lot of things that we can control. So you know my mantra, control the things that you can control and don't worry about the rest. If we can control the internal environment or start to gain control over the internal environment, then we should. So I want to tell you about a study that was published back in 2016 in Aging Journal. And don't worry about the details on that. I'll post the link in the show notes. It revealed that when it comes to studies with twins, it is estimated that approximately 20 to 30% of an individual's lifespan is related to genetics, while the rest is due to individual behaviors and environmental factors. In this context, nutrition and lifestyle are the most important contributors to longevity and healthy aging. That was a quote from that particular journal article. Now, what does it mean that 20 to 30% of individuals' lifespan is related to genetics? Remember those genetics I was telling you that related to like eye color, the shape of your face, the size of your body, the size of your feet, those types, the color of your hair. Those are hard set in stone genetics, that rarely, if ever, change. Okay. So that's the 20 to 30% they're talking about. They're not talking about those modifiable factors. And really and truly, this statement could be modified to say, hey, the birth genetics, your longevity, your lifespan is only determined by 20 to 30% of your birth genetics. The rest of it has to do with epigenetics, those things that can be modified, such as health, such as lifestyle and nutrition. I would add mindset in there because research is actually pointing in that direction. And we've already talked about that on previous episodes. So what does this mean? Well, it means that environment, lifestyle, and nutrition, just like the quote said, play a more important role than your hardwired genetics. Because environment, lifestyle, and nutrition epigenetically alter the behavior or the expression of the remaining 70 to 80% of your genes. If you don't hear anything else from today's episode, hear that your lifestyle and nutrition and your internal environment and your external environment control 70 to 80% of your genes and resultantly control 70, 80% of the longevity of your life. Now, here are some simple things that you can do to start making progress in the area of feeling better, you know, getting out of the hamster wheel of feeling like crap. Number one, hydrate. I can't emphasize this enough. If you hang around me for very long, you're going to hear me say this until I turn blue in the face or you turn blue in the face. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. I can't emphasize it enough. Did you know that 75% of U.S. adults are dehydrated? And guys, think about that. We have access to good, clean drinking water. Look at the rest of the world that may not have access to good, clean drinking water. You know, at least they have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. But 75% of U.S. adults are dehydrated. If you're dehydrated, did you know that you're 114% more likely to make errors similar to drinking low levels of alcohol? In other words, if you blow on a breathalyzer test and you're just under the legal limit of being intoxicated, that's the equivalent. You're 114% more likely to make mistakes equivalent to that state. So think about that in your work day. You're trying to get a lot accomplished and you can't focus or concentrate. Chances are you're dehydrated. So just a 1% decline in hydration can negatively impact cognitive functioning and mood. The greater your hydration, the less sensitive your thirst drive is going to be. So hear me when I say that. I have people tell me all the time, Brian, I don't like to drink water. I don't crave water. I don't like the taste of water. Do you know why that is? You're that way because you're dehydrated. And you're thinking, well, that doesn't make sense. No, I just don't like water. No. You're dehydrated. I can trust me on this. If you force yourself to drink water, and it's different for everybody, within anywhere from 2 days to 12 days, you will crave water like crazy. Trust me on that. I challenge you to try it for seven days, force yourself to drink water. The next question you may be asking is, how much water do I drink? A good rule of thumb, and this is not for a newbie, this is an experienced person that's already drinking water. Women should be drinking 3 liters of water per day. That's 3 of these big boys a day, and guys should be drinking 4 of these. If you're exercising regularly, you're burning calories, you live in arid areas where the air is just drier, such as Colorado and things like that, then you should be drinking more. You should have no problem drinking that amount of water. In the South, where it's really, really humid, a lot of times people have problems drinking that amount of water. I don't. I drink 4 liters of water a day religiously, and it does my body good. If I ever get behind the curve, and I can tell it, my attention, concentration, and focus goes down. My mood goes flat. It doesn't go depressed. It just kind of goes flat. And if I start drinking water, boom, it comes right back up. You want to know another tip? One of the best anxiety medicines you can take is water. I kid you not, it will calm your nerves down like crazy, because neurologically, your neurological tissue is mostly water and fat. And if it doesn't have water, guess what? Nerve conduction doesn't happen correctly. Drink your water. If you hang around me long enough, you're going to hear me say that till I'm blue in the face or you're blue in the face. So the next thing, number two, is move your mass. Did you know that we lose 3 to 8% of our muscle mass per decade of life after age 30? So with age, our muscles experience shrinkage. And you're thinking, well, I know a lot of things that experience shrinkage with age. I'm not talking about that. That's a whole conversation for another day. We're talking about muscles right now. Muscles shrink with age. The problem with that is when our muscles shrink, our function decreases, our stamina decreases, our endurance decreases, and our metabolism decreases. Research also shows that as our muscles shrink, we put ourselves at higher risk for hip fractures. Hip fractures, number one killer of women over age 65 within a five-year period of a hip fracture. And most of it is related to poor muscle structure, not enough muscle structure around the hips to protect the hips that when you do fall, boom, we're strong enough to brace ourselves. If you don't have muscle there to brace, you can't protect your bones. So, and then there's the whole conversation of calcium and vitamin D and the whole nine yards. Another conversation for another day. But bottom line is science is linking falls and instability and balance issues related to poor muscle health. So exercise is currently the only effective option for a decrease in muscle mass for those of all ages. So if you have a decrease in muscle mass, the only way to turn that around is start exercising. In other words, you have to lift heavy objects and you have to put them back down. You've got to move your mass. And sometimes that means picking up your feet and putting them back down for 30 minutes, taking a walk, something as simple as that. But move your mass, get moving. As far as hormone replacement, I know a lot of folks that are listening think, well, what about hormone replacement? You know, if my muscle mass is down, doesn't that mean my hormones are down? Absolutely. Again, a whole nother conversation for another day, not the purpose of today's message. And lastly, I want you to start eating anti-inflammatory foods. Now, first, I want to review with you what are some inflammatory foods so you can identify, okay, where am I having problems? Well, here's a big one, and it's in the American diet like crazy: refined sugar. It's everywhere. So you're going to have refined cane sugar. You're going to have refined corn sugar. That's the worst one because corn is actually a pro-inflammatory food item as well. And we have corn oil and corn sugar, corn syrup, those types of things in our diet like crazy. So refined sugars of any kind, no matter where they're coming from. Now, you may be thinking, okay, well, I thought I could have stevia. Well, it's not really a sugar by classification. It is a sweetener and it is a natural sweetener, but it acts totally differently. I'm okay with stevia, actually, but refined sugar needs to be removed. Table salt will actually not only induce stress, but it's actually very pro-inflammatory. Processed foods are very pro-inflammatory. Junk foods, pro-inflammatory. Alcohol is pro-inflammatory. You're not going to like this, but coffee is pro-inflammatory. Wheat, corn, and dairy can be pro-inflammatory. Now, I will say this on coffee. There are some coffees that for health reasons can be used, like green coffee bean extract and things like that, have an anti-inflammatory, totally different product. But just drinking a ton of coffee, it changes the pH in your body and puts you in a more acidic state. So let's talk about foods that you can eat that are anti-inflammatory. Obviously, dark green vegetables, avocados, berries, tomatoes, nuts, plant proteins, so on and so forth. So that's just a few things that you can start doing right now to take control and start moving in the right direction and start getting out of that hamster wheel. Other things that you can do are, you know, get your genes tested, because what I've found is just like Dr. Gibson was speaking about, when we're dealing with people with age-related disorders, age-related symptoms. And in her case, because she only works with children with neurological and psychiatric issues, there's a lot of similarities between those two populations. The aging population has age-related changes, and kids is that it boils down to inflammation. Scientific research is actually starting to show that all of this is related to methylation. Again, that's a term you don't need to get caught up in. I'm going to be teaching more about methylation in the coming weeks, because it's really, really important. And we'll be drawing these connections and showing how this all connects. So as we wrap up, I would like to make the listeners aware of something new. again, if you're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, join me on Monday, May 17th for my next Gene Hack Bootcamp, to find solutions for how to get off the hamster wheel of feeling bad once and for all. Go to www.drbriangbrown.com /GeneHack, GeneHack. In the Gene Hack Bootcamp, using my proprietary Genesis Zone method, I'm going to teach you how to know exactly which of your five optimization zones are out of balance. Now, the five optimization zones are a proprietary assessment system that I created to take a plethora of information and distill it down into something that's really, really easy to understand, really, really easy to work with. And what I found through the five zones of optimization, if we start with that primary zone first, we get results in days or weeks versus months or years. And it's just amazing how that really radically changed my practice and working with clients when I discovered that. And I discovered it from my own client pool and just years of doing this. So when one of those five zones or more than one of those five zones is out of balance, you know, it can create lower states of function physically and emotionally. It can create mental performance issues. And I will show you exactly how to identify which zone you're in. I'll also show you exactly which genes within each of those zones need to be checked in order to propel you to, you know, feeling better and getting back to normal. And actually, I have clients all the time tell me, "Hey, Brian, you know, I feel better than I did ever because I didn't really realize how bad I felt until I realized how bad I felt, and or how until I realized how good I could feel." So it's a power-packed 5 days. Trust me on that one. You're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it, especially if you want to feel healthier and stronger, find balance, have a stronger immune system, have improved focus and concentration, have a better mood and lower anxiety, and just have more energy, stamina, and endurance. To reserve your spot, and this first boot camp that I'm doing is free. It's my gift to you. So after this, there's going to be a fee associated with that, but this one's free. So jump on board on this. I would love to have you in there. Again, go to drbriangbrown.com/GeneHack. And if you have any questions about the boot camp before you sign up or anything, just message me, direct message me on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Brian G. Brown. And I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have. So that brings us to the end of today's show. Tune in next Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time for our next Wellness Wars segment, where I'll be interviewing another surprise guest, and we'll continue exploring ways in which you can optimize for higher performance and just feeling your most optimal best, most informed, most trusted, and most grateful you spent this time with us today. Until next time, stay in the zone. I'm Dr. Brian Brown.